Geek and Review, the podcast focused on innovative and creative ideas in the legal profession. I'm Marlene Gebauer.
And I'm Greg Lambert. So, Marlene, this is take two for this episode because
yes,
we thought yesterday we would be creative and try to record in the same room, which has never worked before. But, you know, that doesn't stop us from thinking that it will work this time. So
it has worked on occasion.
It has worked.
But lately it has not worked.
Yeah. Well, the biggest thing was we got into a room that none of the power outlets worked. So that was the first thing. Then we ran to another room, and then it turned out there was a misspelling in poor Nikki's email. So she didn't have this on her calendar, and we still couldn't get things going. So
she was such a good sport for trying.
Absolutely.
So, it was not meant to be until today, clearly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So so for our Love and Legal Tech feature, we have with us today Nikki Shaver, the CEO and co-founder of Legal Technology Hub, and Chris Ford, legal marketing advisor and co-founder of the Legal Technology Hub. So Chris and Nikki, welcome to the Geek and Review.
Thank you. Pleasure so much to be for here.
And as everyone knows, we're using a pretty broad definition of legal tech, but I think our guest today kind of just fit right into that little niche of legal technology. So let me start off. Nikki, can you describe exactly what it is that you and Chris do in the legal tech field?
Sure. So we, together with our co-founder Jeroen Plink and our team, we run Legal Tech Hub, which is a one-stop shop for law firms and corporate legal departments to get information about all of the legal technology solutions around the world, as well as tools and resources to help them evaluate the market and run internal projects to procure and implement legal technology. And so that is a project that Chris and I initially started back in 2020 during the pandemic, but which is now a really viable and growing and thriving business, which we're very excited about.
Chris, you got anything to add to that? That was pretty quick.
Yeah, it was pretty quick, but she's done that before. It started as a passion project, as Nikki said, I won't speak for her, but when she was at Paul Hastings in a senior innovation role, it was a constant source of frustration that she wasn't able to go to one single source of truth for all the different legal technology solutions that were out there. And one evening after dinner, after yet another day of Zoom calls, she said, "Why don't we build this?" And I said, "Why hasn't someone else?" And then we started building it, and we realized this is why, because it's really, really hard to find them all.
If it was easy, everyone would have done it,
right?
That's right. That's right. Right. So how did the two of you meet?
Come on, I know you want to take this one.
Well, yeah, we met the old-fashioned way through a dating site.
Right.
This was in about 13 and something years ago, back in Australia. The internet dating thing wasn't as ubiquitous as it is now, and it was sort of emerging from the shadows, and we were almost early adopters. We went on a very popular mainstream dating site and found each other.
Very cool.
Yeah, a friend of mine told me, I actually was thinking of moving from Australia to New York at the time. And she said, "Well, before you leave, maybe just throw exactly what you're looking for online." And I did so, and within 1 week found Chris, which was amazing.
Yeah, I also, Nikki was the first person I met through online dating.
Untrue.
That's that is absolutely
Chris was the
untrue.
First and only person I met through online dating.
But he said it. Said it with such a straight face.
Very sincere. Wow.
Yeah. So I know in the States we have like farmersonly.com. Was this legaltechonly.com? Is that what this was?
Yeah, that's right. It was the Australian legal tech dating site. No, actually, at the time, neither of us were in legal tech. Funnily enough. Well, Chris actually had a line in his profile that it was a quote from the movie Anchorman. And he had written underneath it, brownie points to anyone who can tell me where this quote is from. And he had connected with me or whatever in a way that made it feasible for me to write back to him. And it just appealed to my competitive spirit. I knew the answer, so I had to tell him. So he got me that way.
Yeah, and look, we connected because we both have, like, extremely international upbringings, and, you know, we wanted to have a sense of compatibility in that way. And, Nikki, you know, was born in the Netherlands, grew up in Germany. I grew up in Southeast Asia. We both have a strong North American background as well. So, we clicked instantly.
Yeah. So how did you guys end up working in the same area? Because I know you've been doing this in the background, but you've kind of been working together longer than that, right?
Yeah. Well. Interesting.
Not together. In the same
yeah,
area.
Yeah. I had been a lawyer in Australia for many years, and. And then when the two of us decided to move to Canada, actually, initially with our kids, because both of our brothers lived in North America and both had kids, and we wanted the cousins all to know each other. So we moved, and I kind of fell into the field of legal tech and KM and innovation almost accidentally. It's while I was requalifying to be a lawyer. It's the job I got as a contract gig with one of the large firms in Canada, at a time when I didn't know what legal tech even was. And amazingly, I mean, I really met some of the people that I'm closest to now in the world. I met Carla Swansburg, who's now at ClearyX, Simon Wormwell, who's at Osler, Kate Simpson, who's at Bennett Jones, worked with all of them, worked from the get-go on an enterprise search project, on an intranet project, and immediately just absolutely loved it. And so I have stayed in that field ever since. And Chris was in general marketing. And I always used to say, wouldn't it be great if you were in one field in marketing instead of sort of marketing agnostic, which is what he used to say in terms of industries. And interestingly, if you look back over all the jobs you had, Chris, in marketing, there was this weird, even though he doesn't come from a legal background, a theme of working for legal environments or legal companies in some way or another throughout his career. But you hadn't actually decided on that particularly, Chris, right? Until much later.
Yeah. I'd worked on the periphery, of legal technology in its various sales and marketing jobs, starting with LexisNexis in Sydney, actually. And then when we moved to Canada, Nikki's half Canadian. That's how we got our permanent residency. And the first job I had there was LexisNexis Canada. And when we moved to New York with Nikki's job, I was working with Axiom. And then from there, I became the CMO at Xero, which is a legal technology company. So, you know, I've not quite fell into it, but decided that, you know, that this is an industry where I wanted to build a bit of a career, and this is what brought me to this point.
Yeah, it was when we moved to New York that really when Chris then started working in legal tech, I think we realized there were great benefits to us both being in the field, and he loved it and I loved it, and it made sense for both of us to stay in it.
What's been the most challenging thing about being in the same profession? I mean, obviously there's really lots of really good things, but you know, Chris, you know, what do you think is the most challenging thing?
Childcare. We have a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old now, and you know, it's necessary that both of us go to ILTACON. It's necessary that both of us, you know, are at Legal Week and then you know, at social events therein. And we'll both be going to Clock. And while we took the kids to Orlando last year to ILTA, you know, that worked out beautifully, it's a bit of a challenge for us when we have We have to go to the same events, and especially overnight. So it's tough. You know, we have a really close family, the four of us, and we hate leaving them alone. But the kids understand. They know that Mama and Dada are building something for the family, and they're terrific with it. But yeah, it's tough to leave them.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, Nikki.
Yeah, no, I that's exactly the same answer as I have. I mean, I think it's interesting. A lot of people would think it's really difficult to work together. We, because of the way, I mean, being in legal tech in the same field, I think is fine if you're in different companies. Working as we do for now the same company, I think a lot of people were kind of surprised and thought that might be a significant challenge. But because we started building Legal Tech Hub initially together, and it was during the pandemic when everyone was home, and it was that kind of strange time, you know, we spent weekends and evenings doing this work together, of doing all of this research, and that worked really, really well and really nicely between us. And we had developed a really nice sort of rhythm and cadence to working together. And I actually think, Chris, I don't know whether you'll disagree with this. I feel as though it has been better for our relationship to work together than when we were not working together. Like, I actually like it more.
Whatever you say, boss.
Well, when he came properly into Legal Tech Hub this past year, full time, we made sure that reporting lines were not such that I would be Chris's boss, because that would not work at all.
It doesn't explain why when she requests a cup of coffee by text in the morning, that she signs the tech the text Legal Tech Hub CEO. I mean, why? No need. Now look, the thing is,
sounds right to me.
Yeah. Marlene and Greg, what we really are into, and what has driven our passion, is the fact that we are building what we call sweat equity for the first time in our careers into something of our own. You know, before Legal Tech Hub, neither of us had really run our own business. And this time we are building something where we are building the entire thing, and we did it genuinely from scratch.
Well,
we can show
people.
You the, yeah, we've got a fantastic team now, and we're building, which is great. But we can show you the paper napkin where we sketched out the first wireframe of the Legal Tech Hub website at a pub on the street during the pandemic while we were masking up and sipping beers. It was it's been a great journey, and we love that we are building this thing together.
It's interesting because we've had a couple of guests, you know, two of which worked at the same company for a period of time, and then two of which started their own company. And, you know, both had, you know, very different but positive, you know, experiences with that. And I know the folks that started their own company, you know, it's like kind of 24/7, like they just sort of live and breathe it, and it just sort of bleeds, you know, personal and professional kind of bleed into one another, and they have to like schedule time to be like, okay, we're one or the other. So like, I'm wondering how you guys approach that.
I mean, I definitely, you're right that they bleed into one another. And in fact, one of the reasons why it also works, I think, for us to be in the same business and in the same industry is because we are international, and we're not from New York, but we live here. And not our whole social life, but a very significant portion of our social life is in legal tech. It's the people that we spend time with at conferences, or we now have a crowd of people who live in Brooklyn who are in legal tech where we arrange meetups. We have, Chris arranges this Commonwealth Orphans meetup, which is people who are Australian and from the UK and now live in New York and are in legal tech. And it's actually a big part of our social network. So that works really nicely. But I don't know, I feel like because of the kids, maybe we're pretty good at also having times where we don't talk about that. And we have a lot of other interests in common, luckily. So we can watch, you know, TV shows and have conversations that don't revolve around it. But I would be lying if I said we didn't also sometimes just segue into, well, what about this feature? And what about, you know, that work conversation at the dinner table from time to time? It's really hard not to. I mean, it's, but I don't find that problematic. It doesn't dominate, except I imagine we are a startup, so it dominates our lives anyway, because that's just the life.
Yeah. Let's put up a quick poll, a quick quiz for the audience. Which out of Chris and Nikki dreams in legal tech, do you think? Only well, one of us does.
I'm going to say Nikki.
to be fair, and I mean, you know, Greg and I both come from families who had their own businesses, and you know, it's, you know, I think that, you know, at least from my perspective, there's a total understanding. I mean, you live and breathe that, you know, that job, because that's, you know, you're, it's yours. Like you said, you know, you guys created this and there's that passion for it.
Right. Exactly. And our kids understand that too. And they feel a sense of pride about it as well. And Jeroen is such a close partner, and we know his family well as well. You know, I mean, it feels, there's something close about it that's different than working for a large established company.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know when we put out a call back in January that we were going to do this series, that we had you two were mentioned by multiple people that we had to had to talk to the two of you. And it sounds like you've got a good community there in the Brooklyn area. But when you run into people at ILTA or at Clock that don't know that you two are a couple, what's the reaction that you get typically?
Chris, you have to tell them what you do at our conferences. Chris, we run some events, and Chris is one of Chris's favorite things is to embarrass me. He's only allowed to do it once during each event.
I mean, that's only at the events. I mean, day to day, I have far more leeway to embarrass her. But I usually wait until the very last when I MC this one day event. I usually wait until the very last session, which is invariably a conference wrap up and a Q&A with Jeroen and Nikki, and I'll introduce Jeroen by CEO of co-founder of Legal Tech Hub, and I will always say something wildly inappropriate and romantic about Nikki to introduce her, because I know that many people in the audience don't know that we're a couple. So what was the,
and they're all like,
yeah, I love the awkward looks that are exchanged around the room as I say something like, Nikki Shaver, CEO, co-founder of Legal Tech Hub, and what was it? The gatekeeper of the four chambers of my heart.
Yeah.
Something like that. Or the other one I did was the mayor of Lovetown, population me.
You can't be upset about that.
Can't be upset. But I just make it as cheesy as I can, and I just relish in the awkwardness around the room of the 40-50% of people that don't know we're together. Until Nikki invariably goes,
I always, just so you know. It is weird when we're at conferences, though, and I say this is Chris, our head of marketing, and then, you know, it's like, and also, by the way, he's my husband. I never know what to lead with at a social event, at a conference. Obviously, in a professional setting, it's clear what to lead with.
Most of the time when Nikki's not with me and I say I'm Nikki Shaver's husband, they say something like, "You got Nikki?" there's no need to pull a face.
Like,
they always
well,
do.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, as a matter of fact. Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to enjoy asking this question because you two both have very distinct and strong personalities. So I'm really curious to see how you answer this. How do you guys handle situations where you may not agree on how to handle it? What are your approaches?
Yeah, I feel as though that hasn't come up a lot, weirdly, in the company. I think we're pretty good at talking through things. I think we're pretty good at talking through things. I can't really think of a situation where there's been a very strong disagreement between us. Can you, Chris, on something to do with a company?
No, really not. And look, even non-company issues, we're both passionate people, and we're not the type that will, you know, let something simmer or smolder. We're like, let's just get it out there. If we need to, you know, get stuff on the table, let's get it out there, because we know we want to move on, because we like each other too much and we don't want to wallow in this. So if it ever comes up, I imagine in a professional sense, I imagine we'll adopt the same sort of attitude. We both want the same thing. We both want to move on for this. So let's just get it out there and sort it out.
I will say it probably helps enormously that, you know, Jeroen is a co-founder as well. And so typically, you know, he and I will talk things through, and then Chris and Jeroen and I will talk things through. And I think that it helps. It's not just the two of us making big decisions. It's very much, you know, Jeroen is part of that as well. And so that having three means you can't reach a situation where there's a tie that needs to be broken somehow between the two of us.
So do the two of you ever gang up on Jeroen?
No.
No, not as far as you know, Greg.
So let's talk about some of the interesting things. I mean, you know, we know that you both are working on Legal Technology Hub. So, you know, what are some interesting things that are happening now in your business?
So we launched our subscription platform at the beginning of last year, and we have over 90 enterprise-wide subscribers now. So that has moved very quickly, which is wonderful for us. Obviously, the whole evolution of generative AI has put us in a really good position with firms and companies needing to know about what is happening on the tech side and which companies are adopting generative AI, and kind of mapping that has been an area where we've been able to be really valuable. We're excited about some of the growth areas for this year. So growing a lot of content, growing the team to be able to support a lot more growth on the content side, really supporting more on the corporate legal side and extending into mid-sized firms, and providing some additional features around really the details of security and data hosting locations for products, things that it's really difficult for people to find out on their own from websites and so on. So some other features that are coming that are on the roadmap, which we'll talk about at a later stage, but there's real growth at the moment. And that's for me, the exciting thing about the company right now.
And one of the cool side effects I think we've had from building Legal Tech Hub is Nikki and I have a fairly unique insight into the legal technology ecosystem, like globally. You know, when we built Legal Tech Hub, we were hoping to launch with 500 tools, and now we have just, you know, we're closing in on 2,400 commercially viable legal technology solutions globally. And what we've learned is, you know, we've learned that certain parts of the world are strong incubators of legal technology. We've learned that there are legal tech deserts in certain countries where we're like, hey, what's going on, Italy? Why aren't there a bunch more legal technology providers there, where they are so heavily concentrated in, you know, Finland and places like that? So it has been really, really interesting, and not only geographically, but to see the growth of the legal technology functions from the legacy systems like your practice management and doc automation through to the AI chatbots and things like that. It's been a really fascinating journey for us to learn about the world of legal tech.
Yeah. I'm wondering about, as you're talking about culture of different countries, different societies, how are you seeing, I would say, who do you think is the most eager to change and adapt with AI tools? Ooh, and who's probably good question. The most reluctant?
So, you know, it's so interesting. I would have said up until the beginning of last year, I would have said that the U.S. actually fell behind in this regard. The U.S. market being such a large legal market and so strong, meant that there was less pressure on firms to adopt technology or new ways of working. And the UK has been ahead of the game in a lot of ways. The Nordic, I mean, in terms of other parts of the world, the Nordic region is a real hotbed for innovation. Australia and Canada are both regions where, I guess, because of small markets, they're quite similar to one another. And again, there's been real high adoption of technology, and they're quite innovative markets. But interestingly, last year, things changed. And I had this perception during most of the year. And then we ran a survey at the end of the year across a number of different regions, which really confirmed this, which is last year, the US raced ahead of most other parts of the world in terms of Gen AI traction, especially when it comes to legal. And I think there are a number of reasons for that, one of which is case text availability in the US and the fact that the content set that case text had for co-counsel was a US data set. And the fact that case text as a company already had a significant measure of trust in the US meant it was easier to adopt. But it's really interesting to see. So for the first time, I would say the US has actually crept ahead there.
Well, typically we ask our crystal ball question at this point, but we've morphed it into what we're calling our Valentine's question, in that with the two of you being a couple working in the same industry, working in the same company, if you had another couple come up and ask you, you know, what's the secret? How do you make this work? Chris, I guess we'll start with you. What's some advice that you would give a couple that's looking to work in the same industry?
Focus on the fact that you both want the same thing at the end of the day, that you're both driven towards the same goal. And there may be different paths to get there and different opinions on how to get there. But ultimately, the end goal is the same. And for Nikki and I, we are building something for our family, and we always frame it that way. This is something for all four of us, and it keeps us, you know, it keeps all the outside noise to a minimum when we're thinking about which way to go forward.
For I would say, both of you, whoever you are, bring different skill sets to play. And it's a matter of really respecting the skills that your partner has and recognizing where your expertise lies and where their expertise lies. So one of the reasons I think that Chris and I do work so well together is because if something is around marketing or sales, I would defer to him because his knowledge and experience is much more significant there than mine. But if something came down to legal tech specifically or innovation, he would defer to my expertise. And so having that professional respect for one another and remembering that at its core, you also have a relationship and you like one another. It's important to remember those things. But if you can really respect one another professionally, I think that that makes a world of difference.
See, I changed my answer now to that. That was way better. Much better than my answer.
You're the second one that has done that.
See, the little insight to the dynamic of our relationship there. I'll say something. Nikki, you'll say something way better and smarter, and then I'll be like, "Yep, okay, I changed my mind." What she said.
You got to respect the skill set.
That's right.
it's that willingness to be able to shift your opinion. So.
And well, I will just quickly say, I mean, Chris is, and always has been, such an amazing supporter of mine. And he's, you know, when I said, let's build this, he is the sort of person who, instead of saying, that's crazy talk, we both have jobs, he said, yeah, let's do it. And also have these jobs, you know, and that kind of support. I mean, there's no way this would work unless that existed in the relationship. So, I guess having the right personalities is key as well. But I'm very lucky that Chris is so supportive of all of my crazy ideas.
Very cool. Well, Nikki and Chris, thank you very much for coming on the Geek and Review and sharing your love and legal tech story.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Marlene.
And of course, thanks to all of you, our listeners, for taking the time to listen to the Geek and Review podcast. If you enjoyed the show, share it with a colleague. We'd love to hear from you, so reach out to us on social media. I can be found on LinkedIn or on X at GayBauerM and on Threads at MGayBauer66.
And I can be reached on LinkedIn or on X at Glambert and Threads. You can reach me at GlambertPod. Nikki and Chris, where can listeners reach out and find out more about you and about Legal Technology Hub?
Certainly find us on LinkedIn under my name, Nicola Shaver, and at LegalTechnologyHub.com. And on LinkedIn, LegalTechHub1.com, that's on Twitter, I think. Anyway, find us on LinkedIn.
They'll find you.
And you can't find me because my name is Chris Ford, and it's just hard to find. I was at ABA Tech Show last week. There were two Chris Fords at ABA Tech Show in the same hotel.
That's funny. The Love and Legal Tech music that you hear for this series is from Jerry David DeSica and Eve Searle. So thank you, Jerry and Eve.
Yeah, thanks, Jerry and Eve. All right. Thank you, everyone. Love and Legal Tech.